You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're shaking things up on the program today. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart's back from Vegas. Of course, we're blasting out Red Heat and Rage Radio Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart will join me in studio. We'll talk some Major League Baseball DFS hot roster style. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa. We'll find out how hot Cam is in a couple of moments. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in. Lucky Steve Merrill. We're going to run the gauntlet with Steve. We'll talk some baseball. We'll talk some NBA. And we'll talk some NASCAR. It's the Coca-Cola 600. I'm in a NASCAR mood today. So we'll spend a couple of minutes talking about the Coca-Cola 600. If you've been paying attention, Steve Merrill's been killing it, man, with the NASCAR. I gave you a winner earlier in the year with Kyle Larson in a 9-1 range. Merrill's been drilling long shots. He's been drilling intermediate favorites. So I'm interested to see who Steve likes this week. When I said we're shaking things up, you've been warned. Mick Aussie will join us on Game Time Decisions today. Some AFL action. We're all craving football, and we're going to talk some football. Australian rules football. We're into week 10. They call it round 10. Week 10 of the AFL campaign. We were torrid, man. We started out great. In the first 7 weeks, we had won like 5 of the 7 weeks. A couple of big money line upsets that we called. We were drilling this stuff, man. But the last 3 weeks in the AFL have been chaotic. It's been a lot of upsets. So we're going to break it down with Mick Aussie. We'll get Mick's hot tips of the week. As Mick takes this seriously, man. He breaks it down. He's got a tipster in Australia as well. So we've been killing it with the AFL this year. We look to get back on track. Last week we did win, yet it's getting harder and harder as the season goes on, no doubt. So we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program. Of course, the Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Ottawa Senators. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Heartbreak City for the Ottawa Senators. Pittsburgh deserved to win the game. They were all over them. It is what it is, but it's amazing that the goal that defeated Ottawa after all that, it's like a knuckleball. It's like an R.A. Dickey knuckleball. After all that, the Pittsburgh Penguins pedigree, man. Penguins pedigree. And now they get the Nashville Predators. The Penguins are favored against the Predators for the record. We'll have a lot of time to break that down. In fact, we're going to start our NHL preview tonight on the radio show as well as on Unfiltered. We're going to be breaking it down. We got a lot of stuff going on this week, and including the UFC, not on Saturday, but on Sunday. And I know everybody's really excited for the UFC in Stockholm this Sunday, right? Next week, we got a really cool UFC card, though. So we've got a ton of fights coming up. There's a ton of stuff going on this summer, which will lead us in to the start of the college football and National Football League campaigns. So the NBA finals are set. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors are going to become the first teams to play each other 3 consecutive times in the finals. And while, yes, the NBA playoffs were relatively anticlimactic, this is sort of like Ali and Fraser, man. They're on a collision course, and they just knocked everybody out. Yeah, the Cavaliers lost one game. They lost one game. Yeah, they just knocked everybody out, and it's going to be epic. And I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of talk, of course, a lot of comparisons. Who is LeBron? Is he better than Jordan? Is he this? And now Pippen's getting involved into the mix. Everybody's involved. Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant. Everybody's got an opinion on the different eras. And instead of like arguing about past eras, man, Michael Jordan's gone, dude. He ain't playing anymore, all right? It was another time. Instead of bitching about the past and comparing everybody to the past, let's just kick back and enjoy this because it's freaking epic. And I'm telling you what, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Lakers and the Celtics play. You know, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and that great rivalry and all that. I'm telling you what, man, 20 years from now, people are going to look back on this and go, that was unbelievable. Those teams were unreal. You know, you got nothing but Hall of Famers on the court. So let's stop comparing them, all right? You know what, Killswitch Engage are good? So are Iron Maiden. They're different. Iron Maiden's better, actually. But you get my point. You get my point. Now, what's really cool about this, first time that the same teams meet three years in a row. And, of course, it's the rubber match. Yet, there have been invariables in each of the series that they played so far. And it seems like, you know, so long ago, actually, that the Warriors actually beat the Cavaliers. But if you forget, Kevin Love was out, man. Kevin Love was hurt. Kyrie Irving was in and out. He wasn't 100%. Off the top of my head, I think he played, what, two games in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago? The Cleveland Cavaliers were not at 100%. All right? And LeBron James had just gone back to Cleveland. They weren't at 100%. Last year, the Golden State Warriors, they would have won if not for Draymond Green. The greatest strength turned into the greatest weakness for the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors were in control, and as soon as Draymond Green reminded LeBron James about Delonte West and LeBron's mother and told him he's going to do her worse than Delonte did, LeBron turned it up a notch, and he's lost one playoff game since. And LeBron has a long memory, man. He's a petty person, like most superstars are. He remembers this. They want this bad, man. This is the freaking rubber match, all right? You know, the best part about this is they're both 100% healthy. Well, sort of. Nobody's 100% at this time of the year, but at least the rosters are intact. So last year, we had the suspension, the change in dynamic of the series. This year, the X factor, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant wasn't on the Warriors last year. And I understand why the odds makers have made the Golden State Warriors favorites against the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I don't understand why the Golden State Warriors are such big favorites against the Cleveland Cavalier team to match up extremely well with them. Yeah, the Golden State Warriors have Kevin Durant. Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers have LeBron James. Okay, you've got Steph Curry. Fine, we've got Kyrie Irving. You know what? Kyrie Irving's a better overall player than Steph Curry is. Curry's a three-ball shooter, all right? And we saw last year, they took that away from him, and he was in a lot of freaking trouble, as we saw in Game 6 and Game 7 last year. So I said to Kevin Durant is the X factor. The real X factor here is Klay Thompson. And who's better, Klay Thompson or Kevin Love? Kevin Love is better than Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's okay. He's a decent three-point shooter. He's having a horrible time in the postseason right now. And I'll tell you what, the Golden State Warriors are going to need Klay Thompson to step up because I don't think Curry and Durant are just enough. It's an epic series. And when I say that they're nearly, they're 100% healthy, Steve Kerr won't be there. And how about this? The storyline is not being talked about enough. Mike Brown, of course, he used to coach LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was thrown under the bus and fired. And here he is right now, manning the Golden State Warriors. It's going to be an epic series, man. And we've got time to break it down and tell you who we think is going to win. The fan in me would prefer to see Golden State get it done. I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan, and I'm a Toronto Raptor fan, and I'm sick of the Cleveland Cavaliers beating us every freaking year in the playoffs. But with that being stated, the fan in me thinks, yeah, Golden State's a better team. The better in me sees the Cleveland Cavaliers getting plus 220 right now on the series price. And I told you, it could have gone to a plus 290 as recently as a couple of freaking days ago. So I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win next week. It's hard not to say Golden State, man, but that plus 220, they're reeling us in. Who do you like? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We got a great show lined up for you. We're kicking it old school, actually, on the program today. Steve Merrill, Cam Stewart, Mick Aussie, all gentlemen that have been in the rotation, of course, for close to the 15, 16 years that we've been doing this. So, yeah, we're kicking it old school. We got a ton of topics to get to. We got a little bit of something for everybody on the show today. If you're a fantasy player, we've got some DFS baseball stuff for you. We dug deep. Some head-to-head matchups on a hot roster. If you're a compulsive degenerate gambler that's looking for something to bet on at 2 in the morning tonight, then we're going to give you some Australian football rule picks. NBA, we've got NBA talk. We've got MVP odds. We've got future odds. We've got it all. We've got some. We got the hottest teams in baseball heading into the weekend, and we got Steve Merrill batting leadoff. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, how you doing?
A lot of stuff to get to here, Steve, and I pumped your tires off the top of the program, telling everybody how great you are when it comes to picking NASCAR winners. So we're expecting results this week. Coca-Cola 600. We'll get to that in a moment. NBA finals are set. First time in history, the same two teams are going to meet each other three times in a row. Warriors are minus 270 series favorites. They were minus 300 earlier in the week, and I was telling people, if you like Cleveland, just take it. And it's amazing to me that it moved from Cleveland plus 290 to Cleveland plus 220 after they beat Boston, when we all knew they were going to beat Boston. It's amazing. A 70-cent difference if you just would have bet this like 5 days ago.
Well, I think the reason was because they didn't look impressive in games 3 and 4 at home against a shorthanded Celtics team. They blew a 21-point lead, lost game 3, and then they trailed by 10 after the first quarter in game 4. But they were just sleepwalking. You know, they had that game 3 in hand. They fell asleep. And as we often see, that carries over to the next game. You know, Boston carried that momentum into game 4. Cleveland took over, thoroughly outplayed them in the second part of the game, and then they dominated from the start last night in game 5. So it's an angle I've got to start looking more at. I've talked about it for years, but it really is amazing how that momentum carries over, you know, at least a first half play to the next game. It's something we'll keep an eye on here in the finals. And I think that's one of the reasons we've seen this line jump around, because, you know, they weren't impressive in the middle of the series, and then they closed out with an easy, you know, 30-plus point win last night.
This NBA final sort of has a Super Bowl feel to it, in my opinion, Steve. You know, we have the week, exactly a week leading up from the Thursday to Thursday when game 1 approaches. Two monster teams going to give us an opportunity to break everything down. I'm not going to hold you any picks right now because you and I are going to speak again on Monday. But let's kick the tires on some of this stuff. So when I mentioned the Super Bowl, we always talk about, well, you look at the series price, and we've been doing this a long time, Steve, NBA Finals. Let's look at the series price and the MVPs or the Super Bowl and the quarterbacks, etc., and compare the numbers and is there value. And there is and there isn't, depending on what you think, heading into the finals here. So MVP odds, and it's rare not to see LeBron James as the most valuable player favorite, but he isn't. Kevin Durant is the MVP favorite at plus 180. He's their best player, you know, but he's averaging 25 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists a game in the playoffs. He's plus 180, but there's no lock that Kevin Durant wins the MVP if Golden State wins. It could just as easily be Steph Curry at plus 200, Steve.
Yeah, only once since the MVP award started in 1969 has the losing team had the winner, and that was the very first year in 1969. It was Jerry West. It's never happened since.
The logo.
So that's why you have to have LeBron at plus money, because they're not favored to win the series. You would have thought it's happened more often than that, but it's really remarkable it hasn't. The other thing you got to keep in mind, I looked over the list. Since 2002, every MVP before that except one is in the NBA Hall of Fame. Actually, two. Tim Duncan is the other one, but he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Only one guy between 1969 and 2002 is not in the NBA Hall of Fame. That was 1981, Cedric Maxwell for the Celtics. and a lot of the guys that have won since, LeBron, Tim Duncan, multiple-time winners, Kobe Bryant's won twice, they're going to all be in the Hall of Fame. So basically, you got to pick a guy from the winning team, and you have to pick a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem again.
Yeah, but here's the real catch, though, Cape. The biggest X factor ever happened 2 years ago with the Golden State Warriors when they won the finals, when Andre Iguodala won the MVP. He's the only guy in history over the 48 years to not have started every game and won the MVP. So every theory I just gave you has worked every time except 2 years ago with the exact same matchup that we have this year.
Interesting, because that's it. You look at Kevin Durant plus 180, Steph Curry plus 200. Okay, Kevin Durant, he's a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Steph Curry, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no question.
Draymond Green, Hall of Famer. Draymond Green at plus 750, he does a little bit of everything. It's possible. He could win the MVP. I think he would be worth a shot. Klay Thompson, not a Hall of Famer, Steve, at 20-1.
Yeah, I mean, not yet. It's pretty young in his career still.
Although everybody seems to get into the Basketball Hall of Fame. You're right, it's a little loose.
Yeah, well, he has the potential to do it. You know, if he was on another team, to be honest, if he was on like a mediocre team like the Timberwolves or something, he maybe would put up even bigger numbers. He'd be like a James Harden maybe, you know, who knows. But the X factor for me is Iguodala 2 years ago broke every rule. He wasn't a starter, he's not a Hall of Famer, and he was on the exact same team that's favored against the exact same opponent this year. So you never know what can happen, but I don't think that'll happen again. I think it'll be either Durant or Curry, or it'll be LeBron James, one of those three.
Yeah, we talked about Heisman Trophy odds earlier in the week, and you're talking
totally
about...
Totally different, though. That's always a long shot. I mean, that's the opposite of the NBA. The NBA is the only sport where the favorites always make the finals, and the favorites usually win the MVP. You know, the Heisman, you almost always want to take a long shot, to be honest, you know, in that one.
Yeah, we've seen recent history, there's been freshmen come out of nowhere, but, right. You know, Lamar Jackson's the second favorite to win, and he won last year. It's been 42 years since somebody's repeated, going back to Archie Griffin. So, you know, history, sort of you scratch at him. You know, LeBron James, that's the problem here. LeBron James is plus 225 to win the MVP. The Cleveland Cavaliers are plus 220 to win the series. So,
yeah, you're better off playing the series there. It's the opposite of what we always talk about, you know, take the MVP instead of the series. I think this is actually the opposite situation because there is a chance that a guy like Kyrie could win it or Kevin Love. Not likely, but, you know, why put all your eggs in one basket with LeBron? Because, like I said, it's only happened once in 48 years. And
Kyrie
it hasn't happened.
Kyrie could. I think Kyrie's a Hall of Famer, and I say Love is, too. Love's been playing good basketball, but it's hard to see if they win LeBron not just dominating. But without being stated, Kyrie Irving is capable of putting up 35-40 in four or five of these games, though, right, Steve? So Kyrie Irving at plus 900 could be worth a look, too.
Yeah, but there's no reason to play LeBron because the last 47 years, the team that's won's had the MVP. So, you know, in that case, you might as well just take Cleveland. And then in case, you know, Kyrie or someone carries them, you don't lose that bet then. However, LeBron's a different animal. He's won the thing three times. He's probably the greatest player in the recent era other than Jordan, who won it six times, by the way. And we talked about a couple years ago. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. It might have been in 2015 when Iguodala won it. There was talk that LeBron could have gotten that MVP because he really, you know, that was when they were without Kyrie and they still were competitive in that series. So I thought he really made a good case, probably should have been the MVP 2 years ago on the losing team.
All right. And of course, the 2-3-2 format no longer exists, which is right. A good thing. I didn't like that format. It was bad. So they're back to the traditional 2-2-1-1-1. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Obviously, listen, Golden State have the advantage. They have the home court. You could argue they play better defense. They do play better defense in Cleveland, but I don't know. I think we could throw a lot of the stats out the window. It's going to be great stuff. As I promised in the intro, I'm going to give you my final pick for this next week, and we'll hold you to something on Monday as well, Steve. But it's going to be a great finals, man. I think it's going to be a long series. And for the record, one thing that I did notice and I looked at, when will the series finish? And it's plus 200 game six. Plus 200 game seven, irrelevant of who wins.
Yeah, that's what's tricky, though, because like you said, it's no longer the 2-3-2 format. So Golden State is likely to win the series, but game six is in Cleveland. You know, and it's hard to imagine them clinching. It's less likely they clinch on the road. So they'd have to either do it at five or seven at home. And obviously, a 4-1 win over the Cavs would be pretty tough as well. So, yeah, it looks like it's going six or seven. And no matter what, it'll be a long series. There's 2 days of rest between every single game except games 3 and 4. So it starts on the 1st and it ends on the 18th for just 7 basketball games.
Absolutely brutal. Terrible. Okay, so let's jump in right now and talk about the Coca-Cola 600. They've been here for a couple of weeks. The All-Star race was last week. So they've been there for a couple of weeks. We got the Coca-Cola 600 right now. Well, we got Kyle Busch, who actually won the All-Star race last weekend. It's the first time he actually won here before. I'm not sure I want to lay this low of a price on him going back-to-back, Steve, at plus 550.
Yeah, and they all live in Charlotte as well, of course. So this is several weeks that they've been home. Last week's race is completely different than this one. This is the longest race of the season, 600 miles. The All-Star race is the shortest of the season. So even though it's the same track, two totally different types of handicap, because this is really an endurance race, you have to look at Martin Truex Jr. He led almost every single lap last year. It was one of the most dominating NASCAR performances in recent history at any track. He's won twice already this year on these cookie cutters. So no matter what he does, he has to be in your lineup. And it looks like he's starting eighth. He qualified eighth, so you're going to get some value from a fantasy perspective. Kyle Busch and Harvick 1-2, the starting lineup. So from a fantasy perspective, not a lot of value there because they're not going to gain any positions. Jimmy Johnson starting farther back at 14th. He's been very good at Charlotte. Kyle Larson was not able to qualify. Failed inspection. They put something on the inspection setup. They put the car up wrong or something. Everything's okay with the car, though. He did hit the wall in the first practice. He was still the second fastest in that practice, but he's starting 39th. Not sure he'll win the race because of that, but from a fantasy perspective, he's almost an automatic play starting 39th.
That's a great point that you raise. Yeah, he'll get up to the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's 29 extra bonus points just him moving up, whereas Harvick or Busch will probably lose a couple points unless they run the race at 1-2.
You're right. Larson hasn't won on a mile-and-a-half track yet he's always right there. He's been racking up the second-place finishes. Great
exactly.
Call by you from a fantasy perspective. You mentioned Truex Jr., and I'm going to be taking a look at Truex Jr. from a betting perspective here at plus 650. He won here last year. He crushes these tracks, Steve. He won at Kansas. He won at Vegas. And as you mentioned, he led 392 out of 400 laps last year.
What's hard to figure, though, is he was third in the fall 2 years ago, and he finished first in the spring, this long race. But then he was only 13th in the fall race last year. So it didn't carry over to the next Charlotte race, which is a little bit shorter. But still, you know, as much as he dominated in May, you would think he'd be pretty good in the fall. So we'll see what happens here. He is one of the Gibbs cars, technically, and they have not won. None of the other Gibbs drivers have won this year.
That's a big Coca-Cola, man. I don't know if you see that, Steve. Look at the size of that Coke. That's the biggest Coke bottle I've ever seen in my life.
The reason he didn't do well in the fall is because he got diabetes after that race.
Yeah, I'm thirsty. Yeah, exactly. He should have that, the diabetes 500.
Coca-Cola 600. The next week at Dover, they have the diabetes or the awareness.
I always love that. They're like, yeah, the Ford crew did a great job. Their guy's pounding back a Mountain Dew.
You got Budweiser in one corner. You got Coca-Cola. You got Monster Energy as the sponsor.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just noticed. I was like, I'm thirsty, too. I'm like, man, that Coke looks good, man.
Well, I was thinking, too. I think does Coca-Cola own Monster Energy? I'm not sure if they're a separate company. They own all these companies now.
Yeah, it's tough to tell exactly who owns what. I think they do, though. I think they do. Coca-Cola, and it's the Coca-Cola 600 as well. So maybe that's...
Right, that's what I'm saying. And then you got Jimmy Johnson. It's Lowe's Motor Speedway, and he's the Lowe's car, and he's always run well here. So if you have the NBA... Since we have no NBA this week, and we can use our conspiracy theories on NASCAR instead.
All right, so you're talking about a good fantasy pick. I got a nice fantasy pick here, Steve. I don't know if he's going to win the race. I was hoping his odds would be a little bit longer, actually, because... I didn't think the odds makers would have this much respect for him, but they do. Ryan Blaney, he's only 18-1, plus 1,800. I thought he would be in the 25-35 range, but he's a great fantasy pick. He's great on these tracks, man. He's actually third in laps led this year and laps gained. Third in laps led and third in laps gained on these mile-and-a-half tracks. He's good for a top 10, top 15 from a fantasy perspective. Always cheap. Same with McDowell. But Blaney, from a betting perspective, I don't know, maybe some books, if you can find a top five, maybe he's a long shot there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, there's not much value anymore. He's 9,000 on DraftKings. I was shocked to see that.
That's expensive. You're right. Like,
what's
up with this? Like, how come
I know, this is a guy that's usually like in the 7,000 range. You know, you need basically your six drivers have to average around 7,300, I think. So he's about 2,000 above your average price. So you got to leave off a good driver to have him now. He's starting seventh, so you're not going to get a lot of points up. And then you look at his history here. He's been good this year. He's been much better on these tracks. But he was 31st and 20th last year at Charlotte. So, yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of upside anymore starting seventh from a fantasy perspective. Denny Hamlin starts sixth. He's only 9,200. And he's been top four two of the last three races at Charlotte. So I'm actually thinking Hamlin's turning into a little bit of a dark horse, even though he's a huge name.
I think I agree with you. I was looking at Hamlin's odds. And a long shot before we get out on some baseball. A long shot. Casey Kane, 40-1, Steve.
Yeah.
He hasn't been great this year. He's been okay. There's been a couple of top fives, but he's a three-time winner here. As recently as, I think, 2012. At 40-1, you know, we know he likes it here.
Yeah, what about Kurt Busch, too, starting 12th? He's been top eight each of the last three Charlotte races, fifth, sixth, and eighth. And he's a guy a lot of people aren't talking about. They're all talking about Kyle winning the All-Star race, but Kurt could be a quiet success here. And he's usually pretty consistent. He's like a Matt Kenseth, you know, veteran driver. You're not going to get a real bad finish. He has a lot of upside potential starting 12th.
All right. Our boy Warman in the booth on top of things. He says Coca-Cola owns 17% of Monster Energy drink.
There we go. Yeah, I knew they owned some energy drinks. I wasn't sure.
So what's the Pepsi one then? Because Pepsi, they have a rival, right? Like for everything. It's like Powerade and Gatorade.
Yeah, I was going to say Powerade might be Coca-Cola. I think Powerade is Coca-Cola.
No, Powerade, yeah, exactly. Pepsi's got the good one with Gatorade.
Do they have Gatorade?
Yeah. Powerade's Coca-Cola, and Pepsi owns Rockstar Energy Drink.
There you go.
See, they got to go head-to-head with everything. Orange juice, soft drinks, you know, water. All right. Major League Baseball, you and I always talk about riding the hot hand and fading the cold hand when we talk about baseball. So let's take a look at a couple of teams heading into the weekend here. The D-backs, red hot right now, Steve. They're 9-1 in the last 10 games. They continue their games against Milwaukee in Milwaukee this weekend. The Cubs, we've all been waiting for the Cubs to start winning some ball games and their offense to come alive. They're 7-3 in their last 10. You know, I'm not a fan of Arrieta on the road tonight against the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are smoking right now. I actually think Wood and the Dodgers are the play tonight. Marlins, 3-7 in their last 10. They host the Angels. I do like the Angels tonight. And the White Sox were a great bet through the first couple of weeks of the season. But they're giving all of that back right now. I guess they're playing right now. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Doubleheader against the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, the White Sox did the same thing last year. Where did they start, like 22-10 or something last year? And then they were a money burner the rest of the season. Because I remember in my power rankings last year, they just kept ticking down week after week after the first couple months. So I'd be very careful with them. They're now 5 games below 500 for the season. They're almost about 1 unit up on the money line, so they're almost break even. Houston remains number one in my power rankings, 32-16. Even though they've been very mediocre over the past week, they actually lost that series against Cleveland. I think the Indians are actually a play-on team. I don't really downgrade Houston much because of that. Arizona is interesting. You mentioned them. I always look at the consensus at covers.com each day, as you know. Arizona's been one of the most public picks day after day, and they're getting pretty jacked up there in the price range. So I think at some point we're going to get some value fading Arizona.
Yeah, Colorado's been real hot, too. I've been riding them for the last couple of weeks. They get the Cards tonight. Could be a good spot for the Cardinals, actually, this evening. And we should note, the Toronto Blue Jays, now's the time, guys. If the Blue Jays are going to put the pedal to the metal, they get Tulowitzki and Donaldson back this evening. So the Blue Jays lineup is much, much more potent than it has been all year long. Steve Merrill, he's always potent. Lucky Steve. Happy Memorial Day weekend, but I know there's no rest for the wicked for you, Steve, so we'll speak on Monday.
And a belated happy Victoria Day to you, Gabe.
Yeah. I'm trying to get Queen Elizabeth off the 20 and Wayne Gretzky on it.
I'll back that. I'm I don't like monarchy, so I'm all in favor of that.
She's not my queen. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Not my queen. Cam Stewart joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We told you we're kicking it old school on the program. We had Steve Merrill. We've got Cam Stewart and Mick Aussie is going to join us in a couple of minutes to talk some AFL football.
Hey, mate.
Yeah, we promised we have a little bit of something for everybody. We've got some hot roster baseball with the Ranger Redhead, Cam Stewart. Cam, always a pleasure. What's going on?
Gabe, it's happening. It's just one of those days, though. Some of my golfers, too, missing 3-foot putts, but let's have fun this segment. I want to punch Kevin Kisner and Danny Lee in the face, but other than that, we got a game to play.
So the kid is not hot tonight.
No. Yeah, no, well, don't worry. We're going to turn things around on hot roster tonight because there are a couple matchups I like.
All right. So I just mentioned with Steve Merrill that the Toronto Blue Jays offense is going to be a loaded one now, mm-hmm. now that Tulowitzki and Donaldson is back. It'll be interesting to see if it helps Bautista right now with a little bit of help in the lineup and a little protection around him. So let's start off at Cam with the first matchup. Jose Bautista versus Carlos Correa. Head-to-head. Bautista's he's heating up. Over the last 7 days, he's hitting .476.
Yep.
He's got 2 home runs. He's 0-for-8 in his career against Griffin. There's nothing much there. Griffin got lit up in his last start, but he's actually been pretty good this year. Nevertheless, I expect the Jays to get to him a bit tonight, Ken.
I like both of these guys. I wish they weren't going against each other. You said it, Morenci. Bautista's really turning it around right now. He's hitting for average. He's getting the dingers. Things are starting to change. Correa was hurt, but when he came back 3-for-4 in his debut last night, small sample size against Kevin Gausman. This guy's a gas can for the Orioles, and he's 0-for-6. So both guys 0-for-14 combined. Very, very tough. The one thing is Bautista tends to strike out a little bit more. Lean Correa in this matchup, but, man, that's a tough one.
I would take Correa here due to the fact, like you said, he was 3-for-4 last night. He's back in a groove mm-hmm. right now. And I think Griffin's a better pitcher. Gossman's okay, but Gossman's been getting hit hard,
he's
man.
Kind of a gas can junior. Yeah. Not totally, but he's got leaks.
He can be good, mm-hmm. but he's been giving up the long ball as well. I'm going to go with Correa here, actually, but let's keep our eye on Bautista now mm-hmm. that he's got some protection in the lineup. Let's go to Mookie Betts. Versus Matt Carpenter. Mookie Betts has really been struggling as of late. Gallardo on the hill tonight. He's been pretty good his last few starts. He's given up 3 runs or less in 4 of his last 5 starts. But Mookie Betts is 4-for-12 in his career against Gallardo. Take it on Matt Carpenter, Ken.
Yeah, this is, I like Carpenter in this matchup. I know he's a little bit cold right now, batting 160 over the last 7 days, 11 Ks in his last 40 at-bats. But, baby, we go to Coors, and good things are happening at Coors. And Zancitella, the young pitcher for Colorado, he started off the season great, Morenci, but he's coming down to earth big time. And the one thing you got to look at, Matt Carpenter also gets walks, and you get plus points, plus 2 points on hot roster for the walks. Betts is in a decent situation against Gallardo, but I really like the Carpenter tonight. I think he's going to get multiple points. Sign me up with Matt Carpenter at Coors.
I like the Coors matchup, I can, but I'm going to go with Betts here only because Carpenter sucked over the last week or so. Last 8 games, he's hitting .160. Thing with Betts is, though, like, you know, you got the power option out here at Coors. It's a tough matchup. Hot roster doesn't give money away.
Nope.
But I'm going to go with Mookie Betts in this matchup. All right, here's a crap matchup here with Souza.
Here's a crap matchup. Yeah, let's just say this one's not on the 5-star sked.
No.
Souza versus VR?
Yeah. Souza versus Jonathan Villar.
Actually, I have a strong opinion in this crap matchup, Gabe. I'll
Souza's
tell you.
Souza's averaging 5-6 points per game on hot roster. He's batting just .150 in the month of May, but he's turned it up a little bit. .267 over the last week. They're both very similar players. That's why it's an interesting matchup.
Here's the thing, though. You got to look at the starting pitching, my friend. And Hector Santiago of Minnesota, he's a fly ball pitcher, and he gives up dingers. That's a great situation for Steven Souza Jr. As for Jonathan Villar, we know this guy likes to steal bags, and you get the plus points on hot roster. But take a look at that strikeout rate, Gabe. 29.6%. That's minus points. This guy's a free swinger, and if he doesn't get on base, that's big problems. I actually love Souza in this matchup. He's up against a pitcher that he can get to. Love it. So give me Souza Jr.
All right, a team that I like actually tonight are the Angels. The Angels are in Miami. Miami, of course, struggling. Miami are a bad baseball team.
They are. Man.
They're just a bad baseball team.
They're cheap tuna.
Yeah. Dan Straley on the hill this evening. And Pujols has absolutely owned them. So this isn't a head-to-head matchup. This is a solitary prop. And what is it, 4 points?
Yep, over under four.
Over under four. He's owned them. He's 8-for-16 in his career against Dan Straley. 444 batting average, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. I got to go over 4 here.
Yeah, even though Pujols is a little bit banged up, you said it. Great history versus Straley. He's going to get to him. Albert Pujols, a veteran hitter. Man, 8-for-16, 444, 2 dingers and 5 RBI. He absolutely owns this guy. And I'll tell you, Gabe, 4? That's a low number. I'm going to have to take the over with you with Pujols. I think he can get maybe double-digit points.
All right, let's get to Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper over under 7.5. It's a little bit higher here. Harper's been struggling. He's just 4-for-30 in his last 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
Perdomo, whatever. Perdomo, you know.
Perdomo?
Yeah. Domi Almigrato, Mr. Abbado. Like, we're already at the time of the year right now to get these stiffs. he's got lit up in his last start. He's actually been okay.
He's not brutal.
He's been okay this year. Harper's only 0-for-2. There's not much of a sample size here. But with that being stated, 7.5 is a little high, Cam. I'm going to go under the number here.
I'm leaning with you, too. When you look at Bryce Harper, you got to automatically think over. I'm going under. He's been struggling his last games. Also, when he's trying to steal a base, he's getting caught. No. Minus 2.5 points on hot roster. Also, the strikeout numbers are up, so that's negative points. I'll tell you something, Morenci. Unless he basically hits a couple doubles or a home run, he's going to have to do a lot of positive things to get to 8. I'm going under with you. Keep digging, because I could see him actually striking out. Perdomo, you said it. He's a stiff, but that's a lot of points to get to.
It is alarming to see that Harper does average 12 hot roster points.
Don't worry. Don't be fooled, buddy. It's a rope job. They're trying to rope you in. Don't fall for it.
The fact is, look, he hit .391 in April, now .269 in May. We mentioned the recent slide. He's so good. He's going to turn it around, obviously. But 7.5, it's like you said, he's going to have to get a couple of doubles and a home run here.
Yep.
I'm going to stick with the under.
I'm keep digging with you, buddy. 21 stolen bases in 2016 for Harper. 0 so far in 2017 and two caught stealing, minus points. Hey, it seems too easy. Oh, yeah, he's going to get 8 versus the Padres. Not so fast, my friend.
I'm looking forward to some hot roster football.
Oh, yes.
Football around the corner now, just nearly about 2 months. It's actually essentially about 10 weeks, 12 weeks for the NFL. I think college is in about 10 weeks. But the football season is around the corner. But for hot roster, they got baseball. And some great stuff. It's a great format over at Hot Roster.
It is, because it's simpler than others. They're not breaking down like 50 categories. You know, think about, look at the point
system.
You
don't have to worry about putting a lineup together. It takes a while to put a baseball lineup together on other formats. Yep. You know, if you want to do it right, this is just head-to-head, and you only have to pick four matchups.
Think about it. Single, you get 3 points. Double, you get six. Triple, nine. Home run, 12. Any RBI, three. A run is three. A walk's two. Stolen base, three. Negative, 3.5 for a strikeout, and minus two for caught stealing. That's the Hot Roster Baseball format.
All right, Cam, before we get you out of here, the Stanley Cup Finals are set. You had a million and one parlays. Did you have the... Nashville Predators playing the Pittsburgh Penguins parlay.
Didn't have that parlay. The Penguins.
Camera 2 Drew didn't spit that one out.
No. Camera 2 Drew's a boy, but
we should have listened to Camera 3 and Hannah. I believe Hannah said it's going to be the Preds and the Pens.
Did she really?
Yeah. Drew, you're out. Hannah's in.
What's a Penguin do, Gabe? I don't know what he does, but I'm on the Penguins versus the Predators. You like Nashville?
Well, what does a Penguin do? He walks a lot.
Yeah, he just walks. Wears a tuxedo and walks. I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't make a noise. I usually do a sound effect for a bird. But anyway, yeah, I'm on the Penguins. They're too good. I don't think Nashville can play with them. Penguins in six.
Penguins in six,
yeah. Huh? Got a couple baseball picks for you tonight, too, if you'd like some.
Yeah, bring them up.
Anyway, the Blue Jays, Texas Rangers. Gabe talked about it. Over the number. I see a little bit of value with Mr. Griff and the Texas Rangers tonight, plus 140. Gabe, your Los Angeles Dodgers, I like it, minus 130 versus the Cubs. Hey, Arrieta, we have a big problem. And Alex Wood, undefeated for the Dodgers, I like it. Cardinals to get it done in Colorado. And the Tampa Bay Rays, I like them at minus 140 tonight. A couple pooches and a couple small dogs.
Yeah, we have some similar baseball picks. I'm actually going to take a shot with the Jays tonight. I think they're going to go on a little bit of a win streak. Now the Angels are a live pick. Astros get back on track. Dodgers are smoking right now. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Jake Arrieta. Arrieta struggles, specifically on the road as well. And a similar situation in this San Francisco Giant game. Giants are terrible, but Kane is much better at home than he is on the road. All right, Cam, we'll see you tonight. We'll talk. We're going to get into the Stanley Cup Finals more in depth this evening with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart.
Red Heat and Rage Radio, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. Mick Aussie joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I promise that we have a little bit of something for everybody on the program today. And so far, we've delivered. Steve Merrill joined us. We talked NBA Finals. We talked Coca-Cola 600. We talked Major League Baseball. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, joined us. We talked Hot Roster DFS Baseball. And we talked a little Stanley Cup Finals. We continue the theme right now. Mick Aussie steps up and in to talk some AFL footy. It's round 10. Mick, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Yeah, great, mate. And a very special round this week. It's the Indigenous round to pay tribute to all the great Native Australians that play our game and pay tribute to a bit of the history in Australia.
That's right. And there's a lot of rivalry matches this week. As well as the games are starting to get more important as teams jockey for position to get into the final eight. So let's start off, Mick, with the first game on the board. And it gives us an opportunity. Normally we do this on Unfiltered, but we're a little earlier right now, so we can get to the first game tonight. The Western Bulldogs, 16.5-point favorites against the St. Kilda Saints. Both teams, ironically, play in the same stadium, actually. Etihad Stadium. It's technically a home game for Western. Both teams are 5-4. Western are minus 228 on the money line. I like Western to win this game, but I don't want to lay the points. I'm putting Western in a money line parlay.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. The Saints, they're up and down, mate. They're one of those teams you'd never know what you're going to get with the Saints. They're on the improve with the Bulldogs. They're the reigning premiers. They've been a bit down this year, but the games they've lost haven't been by much. So I'm with you. I like the Bulldogs to win. and maybe cover. But, yeah, put the Bulldogs on the money line and let's hope they can get back to their form of last year.
Yeah, and I've warned people that the last few weeks have been very chaotic and unpredictable in the AFL. But with that being stated, we're going to put Western minus 228 on a money line parlay with this next game, actually. The Melbourne Demons and the Gold Coast Suns. Melbourne minus 19.5-point favorites in this game. You know, Mick, the Demons can be really good or they can be really bad. And the Demons are now 4-5. The Suns are 3-5. The Suns have been off for a week, coming off the bye week after their trip to Shanghai. They got tattooed. I think Melbourne get on track here. I like Melbourne to win this game, but similar situation as the previous one. I don't want to lay 20. I'm going to put the Demons in a money line parlay with Western, and it's minus 102. Who do you like in this game?
Well, I like the Demons to win, and I actually do like them to probably cover. And again, the game is in Alice Springs. So if you have a look at the map of Australia, right in the middle of Australia, so there's going to be a lot of Indigenous people there in the crowd. And the Suns, yeah, you're right, they had the week off. They didn't play very well in China. I think they went there just for holiday and then climbed the Great Wall because they were pathetic against the power of Pap Smith. And Gary Ablett, the champ, is out with a shoulder. So because of that reason, with Ablett out, I think the Demons might even cover.
You know, let's money line parlay it, though. I'm going to give it later on the show, actually, to remind everybody. Richmond take on the Bombers. You know, it's amazing. The Tigers, actually, Richmond, these guys were 5-0. They've lost 4 in a row. And suddenly the Bombers are coming on, Mick. They're now 5-4. I'm leaning with the Bombers in this game, but I'm going to pass. I'm not betting this one.
Yeah, I've got a great big question mark next to that. I think the Tigers might win this one. They've had a few narrow losses. The Bombers, well, they absolutely smashed your West Coast Eagles last week, so, but they're a bit up and down as well. If you really want to have a bet, probably take the Tigers and just to cover, but, yeah, I'd probably stay away from that one.
Yeah, let's pass on this one, which leads us into your Adelaide Crows. Adelaide, minus 38.5-point favorites against the Dockers. You know, the Crows were 7-0. They were undefeated, and I don't have to tell you, Mick, you want to talk about pathetic performances. The Crows really bit it pretty hard. They bounced back with the rout last week over the Lions. You know, to me, the line's a little high here, considering the Dockers are hot right now, man. They've won 6 of their last 7 games, Mick. Yeah, I think the Crows are going to win this one, but do we have a live underdog with the Dockers?
Yeah, you could be right. The Dockers have got some good on bowlers. They got Fife, who's a champion. They're pretty good, but no, I like the Crows, and I like the Crows probably just to cover, and a reason I'll say that is because the Indigenous fellas, Eddie Betts, your favourite player, Betts, and Cameron, they're going to, I think they'll come up to the occasion, and Eddie Betts, in this Indigenous round, he has kicked and won goal of the year twice, so he's going for third. It's at Adelaide Oval, Crows to win, I think might cover.
Problem is, if you want to play the money line, you're like minus 1,400 or so on the money line. All right, we won't spend a lot of time on this next game, Mick, because it sucks. Collingwood and Brisbane. Collingwood are minus 48.5-point favorites. I don't know, man. They're both terrible teams. The line's pretty high, though. Like, I'm not. You know, what do you call them? The Cobbly Wobblies?
Collie Wobble Magpies.
Yeah. So you want to lay 48.5 points with the Pies?
Oh, maybe. You'd never know, mate. The Lions are terrible. The AFL should just bite the bullet and combine the Brisbane Lions with the Gold Coast Suns and say the experiment hasn't worked as quite as well as they wanted up in Brisbane. But I think the Magpies will win. They came back and beat the Hawks last week. And this shows when I'm getting older, mate. One of the lads I used to play footy with, his boy's playing, Matt Scharenberg, high draft pick, had 2 knee reconstructions and he's back for his first game. For Collingwood, so good luck to Matt.
All right, we'll be quick on this next one because it's another bad game. This is sort of like Cleveland versus Jacksonville or something in AFL standards. Carlton versus North Melbourne. Interesting, the Roos are 20.5-point favorites on the road here. Both teams are 3-6, but the Roos have actually won 3 of 4. And we know the Roos can score. You know, we know the Roos can put points up on the board. And I'm not laying 20.5, though, Mick. I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah, put the Roos to win. Carlton aren't very good. The Roos, God, they smashed the Crows, then get beaten last week. So they're another one of these teams that have absolutely mucked a lot of people up on the picks in the last month. So I think the Roos to win that one.
All right, so let's get to my West Coast Eagles. And I've told you, Mick, we're terrible. We can't win. You can't win on the road. They're soft. You know, they're soft. And what about, I've been complaining about this for years about the Eagles, Mick. Contested possessions. They're ranked 15th in the league, man. The Giants are ranked 4th in the league in contested possessions. I'm telling you, the Eagles, they're all finesse. Yet the coaching staff has had enough, Mick. They're really shaking the lineup up. There could be as many as eight new guys on the field tonight for the Eagles. The coaching staff is livid after last week.
Oh, it's crazy. One of my European mates, he says, I was watching the Eagles play footy against the Bombers last Saturday night. He says, Mick, I didn't really understand the game that much. I said, mate, I didn't understand it at all how pathetic the Eagles were. That said, mate, the Giants have a lot of injuries. The Eagles are back home. They're favourite. Oh, I think they'll win. There you go. But who knows, mate? The Giants are underachievers so far this year. Injury's a big reason. I think the Eagles might get it done. But another one, well, toss of the coin, mate. Pick the Eagles if you have to.
I'm going
to
play the Eagles on the money line. This one's a late Saturday night game, so no official pick right now. But I'm going to play the Eagles on the money line in this one. We all know, Mick, they look bad on the road, and they're great at home. They haven't lost at home. And pretty interesting, they've actually never lost to the Giants before. It's the only team the Giants have never beaten, Mick.
Yeah, that's right. And they're never normally this bad in Melbourne. I mean, they've won premierships at the MCG, so I don't know what's going on over there. Their skipper, Shannon Hearn, who's from up my way, the Barossa Valley, he needs to get them sorted out. So I like the Eagles, but I'm never picking them again once this year for the next 12 rounds in Melbourne. No way.
You know, Mick, this is a family-rated show, so I can't get in too much detail, but we all know what you say about New Zealand, right, and sheep. I actually saw there was a brothel that was busted in Wales the other day, and it was a sheep brothel. Like, really? But anyways...
Well, yeah, there's a lot of sheep in Wales, apparently, so some of the Welsh men maybe have the sheep as their girlfriends instead of a lovely lady. Maybe there's a shortage of hot women. I don't know, mate. But, yeah, the Kiwis, 30 million sheep and, like, 5 million people in New Zealand, something like that.
Mick Aussie, always a pleasure, Mick.
All right, have a great weekend and good luck with the bet. Hope we're a bit better this week. It's been a tough few weeks, mate. It's
been brutal. All right, thanks, Mick. There's Mick Aussie with us. We come back with our plays of the day. All right, let's get to our plays of the day. It's going to be a lot of baseball bets over the next couple of days. Start off with the Blue Jays. Donaldson and Tulo are back. I expect the Jays to go on a little bit of a run right now. Angels. I like the Angels tonight to get it done on the road against the Marlins. The Marlins are terrible. The Astros. I think the Astros are in a good spot tonight to bounce back, minus 135. Arrieta's on the hill for the Cubs tonight. Arrieta really struggles on the road. I like the Dodgers. Dodgers are red hot right now. Giants, Matt Cain, much better at home than he is on the road. And an AFL parlay money line, Western and Melbourne, minus 102. May the winners be yours.